Hi there, and welcome to Unbound and Soaring, a path to freedom from emotional abuse. I'm Gala, your host and creator of this podcast, and I'm so happy to have you here today. As our first episode, I want to do things a little different. We'll have lots of time to connect with therapists and counselors and hear other stories, but first I want to get personal with this mini episode. We're dealing with something that is personal, and I think that having that connection is so important, and I want you to know that you matter, your experience matters, and we can be in this together. The fact that you're here tells me that you'd like to learn more about emotional abuse, and that's fantastic. Whether you're going through it, whether you've been through it and are in recovery, or maybe you're wondering how to help someone in this situation. This information could even be helpful for someone who's realizing the damage of their own actions, and maybe you're looking to reform yourself. Whatever brought you here, welcome. Statistically, 50% of North Americans will experience emotional abuse at some point in their lives. I'm willing to bet that number is actually much higher. Talking about emotional abuse is really hard and can take people years. It took me 17 years, because through it all, and by design, we lose our self-confidence. We second-guess everything. We become isolated, confused, anxious, and depressed. A feeling of powerlessness and despair takes over. I truly believe the only way things will change is for the conversation around this to get wider, to become judgment-free, and for people to understand what emotional or psychological abuse is and the damage of it. So let's get into the definition of psychological or emotional abuse. They are two terms that are generally used interchangeably. Psychology Today Canada defines it as a pattern of behavior in which the perpetrator insults, humiliates, and generally instills fear in an individual in order to control them. The individual's reality may become distorted as they internalize the abuse as their own failings. An isolated occurrence doesn't necessarily qualify as emotional abuse, but a pattern of behavior that creates fear and control does. Psychological abuse can sometimes be as damaging or even more damaging than physical violence. While physical abuse is occasional and cyclical, emotional abuse is constant. Violence tends to be perceived as the offender's failings, whereas victims are most likely to internalize emotional abuse as their own personal failings. So let's look at some examples of what emotional and psychological abuse could be. There's this really, really wonderful website called thehotline.org. They just have a ton of information on all kinds of abuse. They say emotional abuse includes non-physical behaviors that are meant to control, isolate, or frighten you. This may be present in romantic relationships as threats, insults, constant monitoring, excessive jealousy, manipulation, humiliation, intimidation, dismissiveness, among others. Sometimes emotional abuse is more obvious, like a partner yelling at you or calling you names, and other times it's more subtle, like your partner acting jealous of your friends or not wanting you to hang out with someone of another gender. While these emotionally abusive behaviors do not leave physical marks, they do hurt, disempower, and traumatize the partner who's experiencing the abuse. There they give some examples like, I don't want you to go out with them. I trust you, I just don't trust them. Or, you know you can't get anyone better than me. You're lucky to be with me. Are you sure you want to eat that? I'm just attracted to someone who takes better care of themselves. You're so dumb. I knew this would be over your head. Awful. As I said, I wanted this first episode to be a little more personal, so I'll share a little more about my experience. Sharing stories, it makes all the difference. My experience was a lot of isolation and psychological abuse. He would tell me that I couldn't handle anything. I needed to hand over complete control of everything in my life because I wasn't fit. He needed to take care of the money, but yet he could never pay a bill and would borrow money from the kids and spend it on beer.
I was told that I was brain damaged. I was schizophrenic, bipolar, autistic, incapable of caring for the children. If I made him leave, then he said that he would call CAS and they would come and take away the children, that I would go to prison and a judge would realize how mentally challenged I am and I would go into a mental hospital instead. This is actually something I overheard him saying to our 16-year-old son, who was already depressed and anxious. He wanted me to shut out my family and anyone who showed me support. All of this while he didn't work, he never paid child support, never saw the kids once he left. It's amazing how much we take when we're in this broken state. I had friends and family for years who shared with me their concerns, but it wasn't until I could finally get a little bit of separation, a little bit of space, and see things for myself. And especially once I started talking about it, once I started to share what was happening and just seeing that look of shock in people's face, made me realize how unhealthy things were. I know it's so easy to hear these things. And even, you know, me saying it in retrospect and be like, what the heck? How did you stay in that? I'd be out of there right away. But these things are gradual. And as the abuse and your isolation increases, your sense of self decreases. You're not looking at a whole person anymore. I was always in and out of my relationship, and I remember my mom in particular would always say when I was getting back together that I just needed to make sure I didn't lose my light. She described it as that I was this bright light, and when I was with them, I would gradually shrink and dim until I was just a shadow of myself. I always stayed with him because we had kids, and I grew up without knowing my father until I was 16, and I wanted to make sure that the boys had their dad in their life. Unfortunately, I was so blinded by that alone that I didn't pay enough attention to all the damage that was happening around me. If you're a parent in this situation who's also staying together for the children, I've learned that children witnessing or being a victim themselves of emotional abuse can affect their emotional development. They can suffer from anxiety, depression, PTSD, or suicide. They lack confidence. It can cause anger problems, and they're likely going to find it difficult to have healthy relationships later in life. One thing I've started to live my life by is really looking at the example I'm setting for my kids. If their life looked like mine, would I be happy for them? One thing that I found really interesting was once I started working with a lawyer and going through the court process, of course, he tried to discredit me and had no problem saying to them everything he says to me, which, was publicly humiliating. And my lawyer told me that this tactic is the most common thing they hear in family court. She told me not even to worry about it. The judge hears it day in and day out. And just that it's important to let it go. And it really helped make me realize that he can say whatever he wants. It doesn't make it true. And I finally stopped giving his words power. And that's what I want to help you do too. I finally realized and accepted that I handed my whole life over to someone by choice. And I also had to choose to take it back. Like Dorothy and the red slippers, I had the power all along. I just had to acknowledge it. I also don't hold any hate or anger. I may be a little anger now and then, but certainly no hate towards my ex. He very clearly needs mental health support of his own, and I can't be the one to give it to him or to convince him to get it. He needs to get there on his own, and I've completely cut him out of my life for my own mental health and for that of our children's. I wish him peace and happiness, and I look forward to continuing to put all that energy into building a truly full and wonderful life that I can be proud of. Next week, we're going to meet with a wonderful psychologist that I know named Karen Kemp. Karen and I are going to discuss this tool called the Power and Control Wheel. It's something that's widely used in mental health settings to look at the most common tactics that abusers employ to gain control. We'll dig deep into each segment to get a better understanding, because once we know what's being used on us, it can help us to put a stop to it. I want to end this with a quote from Brené Brown's book, Rising Strong. It's a quote from her chapter called The Reckoning. Now, in this, she isn't talking specifically about emotional abuse, but I just found that it really called to my soul. It really rang true, and I hope this rings true for you as well. And it's part of accepting everything, owning everything, and choosing to take back our power, choosing to redirect our life, redirect the trajectory of our life. That power is within us. We just need to recognize it. The opposite of recognizing that we're feeling something is denying our emotions. The opposite of being curious is disengaging. When we deny our stories and disengage from tough emotions, they don't go away. Instead, they own us. They define us. Our job is not to deny the story, but to defy the ending, to rise strong, recognize our story, and rumble with the truth until we get to a place where we think, yes, this is what happened. This is my truth, and I will choose how this story ends. Isn't that great? Let's do that. Let's choose a different ending. Thanks. I'll see you next week.